think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
We're going to run out of time, the producer has just written on the screen, if you don't hurry up and talk to Simon Marks. Simon Marks, hello.
Hello, James O'Brien.
It's Simon, it's Thursday, it must be Donald Trump. Although you are currently in South Africa, where, of course, Wednesday, Donald Trump's reach is still felt.
Yes, very much so, James. I'm in Johannesburg at the moment because this weekend the Prime Minister will be here attending the G20 summit that is being hosted by President Cyril Ramaphosa. It's the first time ever that a G20 leaders summit has been held on African soil. Everyone's coming, but not American President Donald Trump, not even Vice President J.D. Vance, who thought he was coming until 10 days ago when Donald Trump, in a fit of pique, quite literally in a fit of pique, decided that he was going to nuke all U.S. government participation in this G20 summit over his repeated false claims that there is an unreported genocide being perpetrated against white Afrikaners in this country. Even at the White House yesterday spoke about the South African government's policy of extermination of people in South Africa as a justification for why he is not attending this weekend's G20 summit. But I think that there is, for the first time, pressure now that is being brought to bear on the international leaders who are coming, including the Prime Minister, to draw a line in the sand. We've heard this week from the South African Foreign Minister, who in an interview with CNN said that South Africa had now concluded that Donald Trump is pursuing a white supremacist agenda. And then yesterday here at a Bloomberg Business Forum, he challenged world leaders to go ahead and forge a declaration at this G20 summit without America. He said, "We think that the G20 should send a clear message that the world can move on with or without the U.S. And there was immediate support for that from French President Emmanuel Macron. He's coming here on a state visit as well as attending the G20 this weekend. And he indicated through French officials that absolutely France supports the idea now of just saying, OK, well, if the Americans don't want to participate at a multilateral level in something like the G20, the rest of the world cannot simply abandon its efforts to forge some kind of international consensus. He said, look, the Americans were participating in the preparatory meetings until a couple of weeks ago when Donald Trump suddenly said we're not going in any form to South Africa for the G20. So I think we are beginning to see for the first time, you know, the stirrings of international officials saying, look, if Donald Trump wants to withdraw himself, well, we got to just get on with it without him. And I think there's a bit of a challenge there for our own prime minister as he prepares to head here. You know, how tough is he willing to get on the Trump administration? Because we've not seen vast amounts of that yet.
Just to clarify for people who don't follow things as closely as you, the link between the white supremacy agenda alleged by the South African minister, by Ronald Lamola, and the U.S. policy is the idea of offering asylum to white farmers because they are being killed in huge numbers by black people, which is an obvious lie.
Yes. Well, the argument that the Americans make is that white Afrikaners are now being granted refugee status because they claim, the Americans claim, yeah, that the Afrikaners' farms are being expropriated without compensation by the South African government. That has never happened. Hasn't happened once. Separately, the US also says there is this unreported genocide taking place, yeah, against Afrikaner farmers here. There is no unreported genocide occurring in South Africa. There's a lot of violent crime in South Africa. It affects all sorts of communities here. And in exactly the same way as the US government and the president are embracing these false narratives about South Africa, they've now started embracing similar false narratives about what's taking place in Nigeria, even to the point of President Trump within the last couple of weeks threatening military strikes on Nigeria over what he claims is a massacre, ongoing massacres of Christians in Nigeria. But if you actually look at the statistics, Christians are certainly being killed in Islamic fundamentalist terrorist assaults in Nigeria, but so are many people who follow the Muslim faith, and so are many people who follow other faiths in Nigeria. And in fact, the numbers are far greater in terms of the numbers of Islamic Nigerians that find themselves on the receiving end of that Islamic fundamentalist terrorist violence. So again and again, we see an American government making up policy based on disinformation.
And on we go. Nice words to say about the Saudi Arabian leader, though, who was in the Oval Office yesterday.
Well, I mean, it couldn't have gone any better for Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, a man who just in 2018 was a pariah following the murder and dismemberment of the Saudi-American journalist, the Washington Post contributor Jamal Khashoggi, who, of course, was murdered, according to the CIA, on the orders of Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman when he went into the Turkish, into the Saudi consulate in Istanbul in order to get some paperwork for his imminent marriage. But Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman absolutely welcomed to the White House with full honors and a state dinner at the end of the day. And just an extraordinary standoff between President Trump and one reporter during the photo opportunity where the president sat alongside Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. One reporter who wanted to ask a very trenchant question. Let's take a listen.
Your Royal Highness, the U.S. intelligence concluded that you orchestrated the brutal murder of a journalist. 9/11 families are furious that you are here in the Oval Office.
Who are you with?
Why should Americans trust
you? Who are you with?
And the same to you, Mr. President.
Now, who are you with?
I'm with ABC News, sir.
You're with who?
ABC News, sir.
Fake news. ABC fake news. One of the worst. One of the worst in the business.
Well, that was Mary Bruce, a highly regarded White House correspondent for ABC News. You won't find any serious-minded journalist who thinks that she is fake at all. There are certainly many propagandists, as we've talked about before now, included in the White House press corps. She definitely is not one of them. And then President Trump went on completely to sanitize Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman over the killing of Jamal Khashoggi, and even to suggest that Jamal Khashoggi had it coming.
As far as this gentleman is concerned, he's done a phenomenal job. You're mentioning somebody that was extremely controversial. A lot of people didn't like that gentleman that you're talking about. Whether you like him or didn't like him, things happen. But he knew nothing about it. And we can leave it at that. You don't have to embarrass our guest by asking a question like that.
Absolutely extraordinary, given that Jamal Khashoggi was a dual Saudi-American citizen. He had an American passport and his reputation being absolutely dragged through the mud while the man that the CIA says authorized his murder found himself being burnished there at the White House yesterday.
And the CIA's findings, essentially the bit that Trump was describing as fake news, because that was the basis for the ABC journalist's question.
Yes.
So that's a US president rubbishing the CIA in front of a foreign despot to appease and delight a foreign despot.
Yes, and at other times he went even further. He talked glowingly about Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman's record on human rights in Saudi Arabia, which is something that human rights organizations would definitely take issue with. But he also made it absolutely clear that what he wants from Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman is Saudi money and Saudi investment. And it is worth making the point that his own son-in-law, Jared Kushner's private company, has benefited from a considerable infusion of Saudi cash. By the time it was all over yesterday, President Trump at the banquet was telling people that the Crown Prince had agreed to invest $1 trillion in the American economy. It's almost time for your Dr. Evil impersonation again. It is being noted that Saudi Arabia's annual GDP is $1 trillion. So the idea that they're giving an entire year's worth of GDP to the United States seems somewhat fanciful. There's no question that the Crown Prince yesterday played the American president like a violin.
Yeah, and of course, somewhat questionable is the mother of all euphemisms. There's a poignancy there for people who cover the White, well, for anyone who calls themselves a journalist, because That was essentially saying that this great upholder of freedom of speech, I had the great privilege of presenting his widow with a Magnitsky Award for journalism, the awards that began life as a corrective to Vladimir Putin's propaganda, but now reach into many other parts of the world. And he has essentially said, Donald Trump there, that Khashoggi kind of had it coming.
Yeah, and James, just to put it into perspective, you'll know this, that his widow, Khashoggi's widow, is still trying to secure the return of her husband's body parts that are believed to be in Saudi Arabia, and was pressing the White House to raise the issue with Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman yesterday. Well, you know, there is no prospect that issue was raised at all, and instead, tragically, his widow had to watch that performance by President Trump, disgracing the memory of her late husband, a widely respected journalist in Washington, D.C., lived in the Washington, D.C. area, but also, you know, forging this new relationship with Saudi Arabia, in which he made it absolutely clear, President Trump, that, it's time to move on. You know, stuff happens. We've got to move on. We've got to put it all behind us, because it's all about the money now.
You won't know this because it's only dropped in the last hour, but Reuters have put together a list of 600 Americans punished by losing their jobs or other punishments for comments they made after the murder of Charlie Kirk, and the murder of two Americans there being viewed in very, very contrasting fashion by the state-sanctioned murder of one being passed off and passed over and excused by the American president, and then the terrorist murder of another, prompting severe punishments of anybody who dared to treat it with the same attitude that Trump has just displayed himself in the Oval Office to a murdered American journalist. Gosh. Simon,
yeah, and it would be interesting to know, James, I've not seen that list. It would be interesting to know if all the people on that list openly celebrated Charlie Kirk's murder on social media, which obviously would be a heinous thing to have done. Sure. Or, because we know that in some cases, people were losing their jobs for substantially less than that, as the witch hunt continued in the aftermath of Charlie Kirk's assassination. So that definitely is going to
be a closer look. Well, there's one example at the top of the article, a kindergarten assistant from South Carolina who quoted Charlie Kirk talking about gun deaths being a price worth paying for gun rights, and added the words thoughts and prayers. She's a former Christian missionary who's taken trips to Guatemala, who insisted that her call for prayer was sincere, but she lost her job a few days after that. She's among the 600, but you're quite right. Some of them would have made profoundly unpleasant comments, I imagine, but the question of whether they would be as unpleasant as Trump's comments about Khashoggi is now moot. What will happen? I haven't got long. So, what will happen to that ABC journalist now?
Well, the president yesterday was saying that he thinks ABC should lose its license and indicating that the FCC, the Federal Communications Chair, Brendan Carr, should take a look at it. I mean, we've heard similar language in the past, and it hasn't yet led to any broadcast network losing their license. But we've certainly seen at CBS, for example, the entire newsroom basically being co-opted by the Trump White House, forced to accept a pro-Trump bias monitor, and now, of course, being run editorially by Barry Weiss, who is suspected of having pro-Trump sympathies. So I think for ABC News, probably difficulties lie ahead.
And thank you, Simon Marks, live from South Africa, where he remains, as you heard, for that G20 summit. And he did an interview with GBeebies, where the interviewer told him that she felt much safer in Washington than she had done in London, despite the fact that you are, I think, 36 times more likely to be murdered in Washington than you are in London. So a fairly neat illustration there of the kind of, quotes, journalism, end quotes, that Donald Trump values and welcomes. It is 10 to 1.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.